The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Everyone has problems from time to time, but not everyone tries to solve their problems in the same way. So what's the first thing that you do when you find yourself in some type of difficult situation or a time of trouble in your life? And maybe even a better question is there a best way in which to solve problems? And the answer is, of course there is. And of course, in that way is to do it the biblical way. And so it's obvious that what we need to do is we need to take a look at the Bible and see if God gives us any direction, any guide, any kind of information that would help every one of us on an individual basis or a personal basis or a family basis or whatever if we find ourselves in times of trouble. So with this in mind, I'd like to take a look at an incredible example. King David is certainly a biblical personality who had more than his share of trouble. I mean, if you just consider some of these things, I'm just going to just list them off for. We're not going to look at all of these as such, but I want to just list them off. He was pursued by King Saul just like you would be hunting down an animal. Another one was he barely escaped assassination attempts on many different occasions. A third thing was he had to spend much time in hiding in the wilderness, in rocks, and in caves. A fourth thing is his entire family was kidnapped on one occasion. Another one, his friends turned against him and were ready to kill him. This was his friends wanting to stone him to death. A sixth thing is he suffered the shame of having committed adultery and murder and lying about a situation to cover it up. Another one was his son Amnon raped David's daughter Tamar. An eighth one is his other son Absalom murdered Amnon. A ninth one is Absalom, as a result of all of this, then led a revolt against King David to try to take over the kingdom. And the tenth one is Absalom himself was murdered or killed, much to David's grief. By now, I think you get the point. David was a man who had a life that was filled with a great deal of problems or troubles in his life. Yet, somehow, he survived them all. And as a result of this, David is certainly remembered as a man after God's own heart. How do you think that happened? How do you think he was able to go through all of these troubles and all of these difficulties in his life, surviving them all, and as a result, being referred to as a man after God's own heart? Perhaps we can find some answers as we think on what David did when he was faced with one of those troublesome times. We're just going to look at one of them today. I listed out, you know, all of these different things, and there's many, many more. I'm going to talk about one. And I would consider it to be one of his most serious problems that he was faced with. And with that in mind, please go with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and let's begin reading in verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, even great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. It says that they were kidnapped, and it says all the women here were kidnapped, and we're going to find right after this that so were the children. In verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. I would think this would be a really bad day. I would think this would be a really horrible situation to find yourself in. Verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You ever felt that bad that you cried? Well, you just couldn't cry anymore. This is what it is saying. And David's two wives were taken captives. They were among the captives. Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite, and from Carmel. Now verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. I could imagine so. For the people spoke of stoning him. It was your fault, David. You should have been here. It's your fault that has happened. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged, and it would be also, and strengthened, is a very good phrase to add into that if you're looking in the King James Version. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. This could be a very long sermon, or this could be a very short sermonette, because that's the key. But we're going to take a look at this. So today, I'd like for us to look at some of the things that David did when he was in times of trouble in his life. And let's begin by looking at the context that we find here in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. This is what we know, and I'm going to give you somewhat of a background, and some of the information comes from verses before leading up to all of this. And you can go back and you can read it. We didn't read them, but it's there. Number one is, at this time, David was living in Ziklag because he was fleeing from King Saul. And he had aligned himself with the Philistines. And already some people look at this and go, he did what? This is what is happening. This is the history. This is what we're seeing. The Philistines, we also find what is happening here, is the Philistines were preparing to do battle with King Saul. And David and his men had gone to join the Philistines in the battle. But the Philistines did not fully trust David, so they sent him and his men back to Ziklag. And when they arrived back, we see what they found. Because they were out, and they sent them back. Because they didn't really know what they would do, so the Philistines sent them back there. And then when we read these verses here in 1 Samuel, what we find here is, the first thing is that the city or the town of Ziklag had been attacked and had burned by the Amalekites. We see that in verse 1. The second point is through verses 2 through 5, we see that the women and the children had been taken captive, included David's family. Number 3, David is distressed. And then on top of all of that, the people are ready to stone David to death for not having been there when he was needed. Now let's notice again the last part of verse 6. Because like I said, that's the sermon. It's the last part of verse 6. So when we look at this last part, what do we see? We find that David had lost his family and his own life is threatened. And then the scripture says, but David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I asked us earlier, each one of us asked the question to us all, what is the thing that we do when we find ourselves in trouble? And we see right off one of the major reasons why David is considered as a man after God's own heart. Because he went straight to God. He took it straight to God. This is what he did first in times of trouble. He went to God. He strengthened himself, as it says, in the Lord his God. Then, with that strength that he received from God, he was now able to deal with whatever the problem was before him. what happens so many times is, what we do is we find ourselves in a time of trouble and we try to solve it. And then after a time it doesn't work out, then what do? Then we go to God. David didn't do it that way. David had a problem, horrible problem, and takes it to God, where God strengthens him, and then David then has the strength, and now he's able to deal with the situation and how what he has to do. See, God had a part in it, and David had a part in it. And there is a first thing first, and there is a second thing after that. The first part is go to God. Second thing is you do what you have to do in a situation. And it depends on what the situation is and what it is that you would do. So there isn't a one answer there. It's whatever has to be done. But the first thing is you go to God. You go to God. So an important question I find that we might need to ask ourselves is, what does it mean to encourage or strengthen himself in the Lord his God? If that's the key, and it is, what is it? How do you do it? What does it look like? For us to try to answer this question, I'd like to take a look at some of the Psalms that David wrote during his life in times of trouble. If you just look at the Psalm and what is going on, why he wrote this Psalm, or during the time what's going on, and this is what he's stating when he wrote this particular Psalm, you think we might be able to understand how he encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God? I do, and I think that's the key here, and I think that's what we need to take a look at, and that's what we want to do. So let's notice how David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The first Psalm we're going to go to is the Psalm 59. While being pursued by Saul, on one of the occasions when he's being pursued by Saul, David wrote this Psalm 59. So let's go to Psalm 59. We're not going to read all of it, 17 verses. It would be a good thing if you read all of these Psalms that we're talking about to get the full picture here, but I am selecting out verses to make my point. Some might call this proof texting, and I don't care that they call it that. I'm okay with that because it serves the point. It gets the point across. Verse 1, Psalm 59 and verse 1, deliver me from mine enemies. He's in trouble, a time of need. He knows that he's being pursued. He cries out to God, oh my God, defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. Verse 3, for lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. It's not because of what I've done wrong. It's because of who I am and what I'm representing. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me and be whole. Drop down to verse 16. Now we're going to read verses 16 and 17, last two verses in this psalm. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and my refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto you, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. I have a question. You already know what the question is going to be. Or you could guess it. Do you ever even think about singing to God when you're in time of trouble? Much less actually singing to God? And I would dare say that if I went around the room, probably most of us would say, I don't even think about it, much less doing it. This is what David did. He sang to God. Huh. You think there's anything to that? So what we learn here is that David was determined to continue praising God for God's deliverance, for God's help, for God being involved in his life. Here he is being pursued, hunted down like a dog or wild animal that you shoot on sight. This is how he was being pursued, and these few men that were with him, where they were hiding out in the rocks and the caves and the wilderness, hungry at times, thirsty at times. He started out his morning by singing praises to God. Let's go on. Number two, when imprisoned in Gath, David wrote Psalm 56. There are 13 verses here. Do you all to do all of those? Read them all, but we're not. Verse 1, Psalm 56, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresses me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O you Most High. Verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. And God, I will praise his word. And God, I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Does it remind you of a New Testament verse that Jesus Christ talks about? Don't fear those that can take your life. Yeah, man can take your physical life. Fear that one who can take your life and your soul, which is God. Don't fear man. Nobody's volunteering to stand up in front of a firing squad or do any of those things. You know, that's not what is being stated here, but we are not to be fearing man. Our fear, in another way, it's awe and respect of who and what is God. And there is to be some healthy respect or fear of God also. Drop down now to verse 9. We're still in Psalm 56 and verse 9. When I cry unto you, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. When I cry unto you, when I cry out to God, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. So what we see from here is, in this psalm, is that we learned that David would place his trust in God to help him. David would praise God's word. Okay, so the first thing that we see is, and I'm not saying this is an order, I'm just saying this is the order that I have it. I guess I could have done it in order of Psalms, but that's not the way I did it. The first one is he's saying praises to God because of God's great power and abilities and all that he has and for his mercy. He's singing to God. He said, I start the day out doing that. And here we see that he's going to praise his word. We have it. It's called the Bible. Let's go on. Number three, fleeing from Absalom. He wrote Psalm 3. They are not put into the Bible in a chronological order. You should already see that. In Psalm 3, verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. Or think on this. He's saying, there are these people who are saying, you're not going to give me help. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cry unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. Think about this. Verse 5. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Oh, I got so many problems going on in my life that I cannot lay down and I can't go to sleep because I'm so worried about them. I don't think that's the answer. We'll see a little bit later another verse that will show you that's not the answer. So from here we learn that David knew that he would be protected, and the reason he knew that he would be protected was because God was his shield or his covering. Because he knew he was trying to do what God would want him to do. Therefore David could go to sleep even in the presence of his enemies hunting him down. And you go back to there and this whole psalm area leading up to all of this, and it says, oh, there's probably 10,000 out here, and they're right around him. He's hiding right where they are, and he goes to sleep because he trusts in God. Because he knows God's his shield. He knows God is his covering. because he knows that he is going to praise God and bless God for who God is. Number four, while hiding in the wilderness of Judah, David wrote Psalm 63. Now, we're obviously not going through all of the Psalms where David finds himself in trouble. We're just going through a limited number of them here. Psalm 63, verse 1, O Lord, you are my God. Early will I seek you. Maybe you want to put right next to that Matthew 6:33, seek you first the kingdom of God. Seek you first. That's what goes first, is seeking God first. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Remember I told you, I said there are times when he was hungry and they were thirsty. They didn't have food. They didn't have water. What does he say? I'm in this land where there's, well, I don't have food and I don't have water. I'm hungering for you. My thirst is for you. You think he really put God first? I think so. Woe is me, we don't have enough food to eat. Woe is me, I don't have enough drink. Woe is me. Know what David said? I put you first. Verse 2, to see your power and your glory, so shall I have seen you in the sanctuary. This is meaning just like I've seen you in, you know, back in church. This is in essence what he'd be saying. It's not church. They didn't have church, but you get the point. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed. Now remember where he is at this time? He's out laying down in the midst of the wilderness, and where the people are surrounding him, 10,000 people, maybe hunting him down. He said, he calls this is my bed. And I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. So a real important thing that we can see here in Psalm 63 is that we see David overcame his problem of loneliness. Because he was all alone. In this situation, he was by himself. Without food, without water, his son trying to kill him, surrounding him with maybe as many as 10,000 people. And I don't think they were trying to find David so they could feed him and give him a glass of water. They were going to kill him. And he lays down and he sleeps because he knows who God is. So what we see is he is seeking God first. He is praising and praying to God. There's two separate things. He is praising God and he is praying to God. And he is meditating upon the Lord his God. That's verses 6 and 7. So what we learn from these Psalms, from all of them here, is that in each of them, basically, David is saying the same thing, which is what? In time of trouble, put your trust in God. In time of trouble, stay close to God. And the way you stay close to God is through praising Him and through praying to Him and through meditating on all the wonderful works of God. Not necessarily how God is going to deliver you. Yeah, that can come in there, but what you're meditating on is how holy He is, how wonderful He is. Your Word is so awesome, it tells me how to live. And I get out of this, I'm going to be able to tell others how to live your way of life in a more abundant way. And I'm going to, it's not woe is me. Because Because you see, doing so, doing these things, what we find is we will be made strong because the Lord our God supports us. Psalm 63, now in verse 8. My soul follows hard after you. Your right hand upholds me. Can we say, my soul follows hard after you to God? Can we especially say that in times of real trouble? So here's what we've learned so far. We learned that David sang to God about God's power and his mercy, rising early in the morning. This is all during times of trouble. This is not when things are going great. There are other psalms that he writes when things are going great. This is some of the psalms that he wrote when things are going not so great. And these are the things that's on his mind. He's writing and thinking on these things. Another thing is he praised God. Another thing is he prayed to God. And another thing is he meditated on God's word. How awesome it is. Another thing that we see here is that David acknowledged God's saving mercy and power. And then from how we're pulling these all together at this point, I conclude with this, that we see that David said he followed hard after God. In other words, nothing was going to drive him away. He was determined. He was totally persuaded this is the way to do it. And nothing was going to drive him away from that. So I think that we can see some very important things. And see, this was how David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And that he was therefore able to face his problems and to overcome his problems through receiving whatever was needed from God to deliver him out of the problem now. He understood. He had a part. Yeah, his part was doing what? If we want to put it in human terms, bragging about God. And that's not a bad word. But he is focusing all of his attention here on who and what is God and how awesome he is, how wonderful he is, how mighty he is, how powerful he is. And your word is a word that we can live by, and I'm going to live by it. And I acknowledge you that you have all of these things. And he starts his day by singing praises about his strength and his majesty and his mercy. And then God delivers him. What about us today? You think any of this applies to us today? How do we follow David's example in times of trouble? Or do we? Do we? I want us to consider a few things along this line of dealing with our problems today. As believers, we can face many different kinds of problems also. Some may be related to family, others to other matters of personal concern. Could be health, could be related to job, it could be financial security, it could be all a lot of different ways that we could be finding ourselves in problems as we would call them today. And what happens is all too often as humans, we, even within the church of God, we try to face and we try to deal with our problems alone. In fact, all too often, many people, maybe even us, leave God completely out of the picture. Sometimes we even forsake God entirely because of problems that we face. We can do this by no longer praising God, no longer praying to God on a daily basis, no longer spending time in prayer and Bible study with God. It could be done by neglecting to worship together on the Sabbath, to keep the Sabbath holy. We may even be blaming God for the problem. And sometimes We make all kinds of excuses for why we are not including God in the solving of our problems. Do we sing to God? Do you sing to God? Let me ask, are we aware that God is angered if we seek to solve our problems apart from Him? You want to know something that makes God angry? Not including Him in solving your problems. God considers a person who does not include God in the solving of their problems as a person who is a curse. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. You thought I made this up, didn't you? For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat comes. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. In other words, doesn't have to worry about it. There's no care. There's no worry, is what it is saying, in the time of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Let's take a look at what I would consider is one real good example of a bad situation, but it's a good example to prove, to show this point, of God's unhappiness when people have failed to look to Him for strength. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. When Israel was attacked by Assyria, Israel put her trust in Egypt, not in God. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Isaiah 30 and verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. He says, cursed is the one who doesn't come to me but goes somewhere else. Then, what we can see and understand is because of this, then God promised to intensify Israel's effect or efforts. God promised to intensify Israel's efforts to solve her problems by herself. Isaiah 30 and verse 3. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Isaiah 31 and verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord, yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Verse 3, now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helps shall fall, and he that is helped shall fall down, and they all shall fall together. I think it should be clear to all of us what God wanted here. God wanted Israel to trust in him and not in themselves. by saying in themselves, obviously they're including, you know, I'm talking to about they went to the Egypt and the horses and all of that. That's trusting in self as opposed to taking it to God. Like David did. What did David do? He took it to God. Let's continue on. Isaiah 30, verse 15 and 16. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. But you said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall you flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. Or it even could be swifter. I'm going to fly away. I'm going to ride away upon fast horses. And God says, therefore, they pursue you are going to come after you on even faster horses. That's what he's saying. Brethren, let's please understand and realize something. The same is also true today. Because you see, God wants us to put our trust in him and not something else, especially nothing first. James 4 in verse 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And that's what this is being, is double-minded. If we're trying to think that we can work it out on our own, and then we go to God, you know, whenever we really think we need it, that's double-minded. Go to God first. Write it down. Number one, go to God first. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I told you that we would see a verse later to show you this. That's where we put it. We put it on God. This is how David could lay down and go to sleep. He put it on God. Casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. He loves you. He wants you. He wants you to be whatever it is that he's wanting us to be. And what he wants us to be is sons and daughters in his family. David got this as an Old Testament person. He understood this and he gave it to God. Therefore, he could lay down and go to sleep with 10,000 people around him without food or water. Because he put all of his trust and confidence in God. Whatever happened, he knew it was okay. Because he knew God was on his side. God was in charge. And he knew that he was on God's side. From time to time, we have adages that we, old cliches that we hear. Here's the real truth of the matter. It is not God helps those who help themselves. That is not true. The really truth on it is God helps those who trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not on their own understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him and he shall deliver or direct your paths. It's another way of saying, seek you first. Brethren, please know, when we leave God out of the picture in solving our problems, are not putting it in a proper order. One thing is certain. God leaves us to deal with our problems on our own and without his help. We do not want to find ourselves at that place where we're out there on our own and God allows us to do so and he takes his hands off. That's what he did with Israel. That's what we saw. And hearing this, another thing is also possible. If we leave God out of being involved in solving our problems, in an act of loving discipline, God might thwart our efforts to solve our problems independent of His help. To put it another way, He could throw a monkey wrench in to mess up the whole thing. Because, brethren, please understand, as we saw, that is exactly how God disciplined Israel. That's what He did with them. So let each one of us learn from one experience in dealing with problems in King David. Here are a few things that I want us to consider as we draw this to a conclusion. I have 5 points. Number one, in times of trouble, look to God alone for our strength. And yes, you can put the word first. But if you look to God alone, there is no first other than God. Number two, trust in the Lord God and be steadfast in praising Him and praying to Him daily. Sing praises to God. Number three, don't forsake Him. And do not forget to keep what is holy, holy. Number four, I'm just really just restating what we've heard in the sermon. I'm just putting them now at the end on a 1-2-3 order. Here's all I'm doing. Number four, draw close to Him and He will draw close to us. Do we really believe this is a true statement? I pray that we do. Let what David said of himself also be true of us as well. Psalm 63 and verse 8, my soul follows close behind you, or hard. Remember that? It also could be close behind. In other words, I'm right there. It's like a little child. Sometimes, you know, they get underfoot and we call them being a tag-along and all of this, and we may not always like that. It's not the way God is. He loves it. He always wants us to be the tag-along. He always wants us to stay close behind Him. Your right hand upholds me. Let that be true with us as well. We're going to be right behind. We're going to be right close to Him. Hard upon Him. Nothing is going to get between us. And a final point to consider, number five, is remember that those who trust in God will find strength, deliverance, and true happiness. Because you see, that's really the lesson of David. Brethren, here is a concluding two-part question for each of us to ask ourselves. And to be honest enough to answer the questions truthfully. And you see, here's the thing. God already knows. Do we trust in God? Or do we trust in our own strength? In other words, are we like David or are we like other men? Brethren, let each one of us please be determined in our hearts and in our life's examples that God will be our deliverance in times of trouble, just as it was with King David. An ironic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are blessed. We are so blessed as God's name is upon us.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.